Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Great Expectations episode 4 is over, but here on the Greatest of Expectations podcast, we are just getting started here on Pusher Recaps. My name is Ariel, and I'm joined by someone who thinks 35 seconds is enough time to self-examine. It is Grace. What's going on, Grace?
That's about it. Yeah. Don't tell anybody about, you know, that I have any sort of like virtue, please. It will ruin all of my business endeavors.
We are, of course, talking about FX on Hulu's Great Expectations, a show that you and I are now just walking around being like, this is a great show.
It's actually good.
People need to be watching it. I say this every time. I tell as many people as possible to watch it. It's been a whole lot of fun. Grace, I think this might have been my favorite episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know if this was my favorite episode, but I do think it's good. I mean, I do feel like we're in a little bit of a holding pattern in terms of like what we need. Like, Pip is continuing to get an education and how to be a gentleman, although maybe learning that Jaggers has a little bit of a heart in him. And then also that Estella is going to marry Dremel and sort of still leading up to that. But again, I think it's very strong. I mean, there is a reason this piece of work by Charles Dickens has been adapted so many times. I think it's very strong. I mean, a 4.7 on IMDb, I don't know what people are.
This is brutal. I don't understand. Like, I don't, as far as I know, right? Because, like, there have been cases, unfortunately, in like media, movies, recently, even TV shows where like people will like review what's called like
review bomb.
Yeah. But as far as I know, this isn't like something that people find problematic in some way or the other. So I genuinely don't understand.
I mean, typically when things get review bombed, it's for one of two reasons. So one is that there's LGBTQ content on our screen, which is not what we're seeing, mm-hmm. or they have decided to recast or cast people who predominantly would be a white role into people of color. And that is a thing that the show is doing. And so yes. I do wonder whether there is some disingenuity to some of the one star reviews that are given to this property, but
yeah,
alas.
I think unfortunately, big uppercase, unfortunately, that makes a lot of sense. But we are here to talk about how wonderful the show is and to sing its mm-hmm. praises and hopefully continue to get some people to watch it or, you know, put some eyes on this thing. I think I said this before, but I just love discovering a show or, you know, or it's more of a show thing because movies, you know, it kind of comes and goes. But with shows, it's like you discover this thing. And then if for like a few weeks, however long it lasts, it just feels special. And especially when it's a little smaller like this, it's like no one's talking about it. But there's this like pocket of magic that if you just watch the show, you can unlock it for yourself and be enjoying it. And that's what this feels like.
If I had to guess where there are some like genuine critiques happening with the show, and I think, you know, I don't think it's a perfect show by any means. I just think it's pretty good. But I do think that there has been a significantly less amount of Olivia Colman than I might have thought we were getting from this show. She has another episode where she's not super in the episode. So maybe some false expectations that people had about the show. And then the other piece is that I do feel like it is not as maybe clearly defining. I feel like every time we've come on to the podcast in our pre-pro meeting, we have like had to sort of like clarify with each other about what's going on with like Magwitch in particular. And like, that's Magwitch, right? Like that is him. Like we know, but also like that is him, right though. Yeah. Like for sure.
That is true. That is true. Unfortunately, that did just happen.
Yeah. And then the other piece that I would say is that, like, I know that there's some folks watching in the Post Recaps Patreon Discord who are saying, like, it's a little gross for them. It definitely is, like, you know, that's the depiction of London at the time, is this sort of, like, seedy underbelly world, this place where Pip is going to get, like, super hardened. And I wonder if just for some people it's, like, you know, it's a little grimier than perhaps some of the TV we get. I like that personally. I like the, you know, this is from the same people who made Peaky Blinders, right? So I think that there's some of this stuff is to be expected, but these are maybe the reasons why I think people are finding it not working. Personally, I find Finn Whitehead to be a pretty compelling lead, Ashley Thomas's Jaggers to be really compelling. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's really working. And I think the themes are really relevant, as we were saying last episode to today, but yeah, we'll chat through it.
Yeah, for me, I think just broadly, before we get into like some of the nitty gritty stuff, I think for sure I agree. Like you just said, the you know, the Pip and Jagger stuff is still really strong. That's kind of been consistent throughout, or at least the last couple episodes. And now to have Estella show up and have like an awesome bunch of scenes, it was just like, it felt like the show, at least for me, character-wise and like in very clearly mapping out or kind of coloring in some of these broader character arcs or just motivations. You know, we get some, you already alluded to, we get some stuff with Jaggers of like, you know, he's starting to like show him his real self to Pip a little bit. And I think Estella is just super, super compelling as a character, and obviously the performance of the actress. So even though, you know, this episode, there wasn't maybe a lot that happened, it just felt like a lot was revealed in the sense of, again, these character motivations and character moments. And I love it. I'm almost getting like I hate to say it, but like, you know, we started with a flash forward at the beginning of a show. It's something that like maybe pointed to tragedy. I'm starting to get a little bit of like a Romeo and Juliet vibe, the way that Pip and Estella are both kind of motivated by their own version of what they think is best for the other person, but also kind of acting in some ways against the other person, at least in the immediate short term, you know, motivations or goals. So I just think it's fascinating, this like dance that these two characters, but really with Jaggers, these three characters are all doing.
So the other piece that is, I think, turning people off is that this is a departure from the novel, at least in the sense of how, so they're like, isn't anybody doing opium in the novel? Some of the stuff we saw in episode 2, I believe, with Sarah and Mr. Pomelchuk is like not in the book. So I think that there is some critique that this is sort of like it's not fantasy, but it's like the Game of Thronesing of the novel, right? So taking the novel, which is, you know, a class search thing, and then adding some sex and drugs, essentially. For me, that stuff is working, but That is the other big critique that I'm seeing about the show as well. Yeah.
Yeah, which is as you said, you know, it's been adapted so many times and people are obviously reading the novel all the time. It's being assigned in schools. Again, not that I read it. So to my that point being, I think obviously for me, it's a little easier to just take everything that's happening at face value and like learn all these things, and I'm not like measuring my experience of these characters versus other interpretations of the characters that there have been. So certainly my reluctance to do my homework in high school is now paying off, I would say.
Yeah.
Paying dividends for me in my life. So yeah, episode four. This is the anti-penultimate episode already, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
We love that. Only two left. That's sad.
Yeah. Shall I recap?
Please, let's do a London recap. I will spray some water/horse urine on my face to get ready.
Oh no. From last episode. we open on Estella dreaming that she falls out of her window and then decides to leave, but she's woken up by Miss Havisham telling her she has to go to London to meet Mr. Drummle, her fiance. Meanwhile, Pip goes to a bar to get a man to sign an insurance deal, a continuation of last week when Jaggers has decided to get into marine insurance law. But they're only going to sign deals with ships where they know they're selling or carrying illegal cargo, and therefore they'll never have to pay out on an insurance claim. The man refuses Pip's strategy of saying that he could just read the contract for him. Does not work until Jaggers comes in and makes the man sign it using some blackmail, knowing that he had previously falsified that his ship sank and then renamed it. And so says he'll be arrested and thrown in jail if he doesn't sign the deal. He then tells Pip that he needs to go be the chaperone for Drummle and Estella's first meeting. The chaperone who was intended to be there is suddenly sick. Definitely. Now, I'm worried that Jaggers actually made her sick and didn't just tell her, like, you need to pretend to be sick.
That seems like a very Jaggers thing to do.
Yeah. He also tells Pip that he's going to have the ship reported because they are carrying slaves, and that Drummle will go to jail for knowing it did. When Pip says, how will they know that Drummle knew? He says that him and Pip will make sure that there's evidence proving that Drummle knows that there are slaves on the ship.
Duh, Pip. Haven't you learned how this works?
We cheat, bro. the meeting, Estella's meeting with Drummle, does not go well, as he is very adamant that they will not debate over any important matters, and if she refuses, he will beat her with a stick. So not a great first date. And yet when Pip tells Estella not to marry him, she says, well, I have to or I will be disinherited. Mm-hmm. In Australia, Magwitch recovers from his gunshot wound and he asks the dog, how do I get to London? Estella visits Joe and Biddy and ultimately tells Biddy she should say yes if Pip ultimately proposes to her. Jaggers and Pip visit a man who has died in a brothel. He's an American cotton planter, and Jaggers decides to throw him overboard, saying that he'll say that he saw him walking in a sort of suspicious area at night and was attacked, and if his body turns up, his reputation will be kept intact. Pip sort of realizes that he actually maybe has some sort of a heart, that he's actually doing this out of the goodness of his heart, and he tells Pip not to let people know of the virtue or the demand for his services will dwindle. He says he was once an innocent boy, just like Pip, an outsider who craved acceptance, then demanded it, then despised it. Jaggers and Pip visit a woman. She asks if they're here for comfort, and he says yes, but also for business. The woman says she has two daughters and tries to convince Pip to marry one of them, but he says he's already in love, although she is not in love with him. Jaggers says that there's a ship captain taking opium, but it will not arrive. He's going to hang before it gets there, but the opium on the dock has already been paid for. They'll take it and supply her with the opium. Then we have Estella imagining she's dancing. Pip is sort of imagining he's dancing with Estella, at least having flashbacks. Jaggers wakes up Pip and says, this London life will either make you or kill you. He says, it will make me, Mr. Jaggers. I will go to Cairo. And then we see Magwitch on a ship about an hour outside of London.
Yeah, Cairo. And this is the second time, right, that he's invoked it. When he talked to Estella, he was like, we're going to... He's basically like trying to manifest this Cairo trip with himself and with Estella.
It's Estella's dream. Dreams that she'll marry a man who will take her to Cairo, is what she says when she's a young girl.
Right, from earlier. So he's been carrying that with him for a little while, and he's been talking about it for a while. So it is sweet that he, just like the flame that he still carries for her that is burning bright, he's trying to get her to Cairo because he knows that she wants to see it.
Well, he's in like an opium haze. He's like passed out on the street when Jaggers comes outside to like wake him up and essentially be like, okay, let's go home. And yeah. It's sort of the thing he says in his opium haze. Clearly it's like sticking with him, this idea that he will become a successful businessman. There's a moment in the carriage when they leave the meeting with Trumbull, and she says like, well, I'll be disinherited. And he says, well, then I'll take care of you. And she's like, but you have no money. And he's like, not yet. And she's like, yeah, not yet. As in, you are poor at the moment. You have no money. So yeah, kind of, I mean, brutal that Estella sees no other option than to marry Mr. Drummel. Perhaps the worst person I've ever seen on TV.
He's definitely up there. And to the point about Estella, I think it's your point exactly, because, and it also goes to a little bit of what Jagger says to Pip earlier in the episode, like, oh, I'm gonna make you hate this guy that Estella is supposed to marry so that you help me sabotage him. And it's, she sees no other choice, right? Like, she has no other choice. She doesn't want to be disinherited. She doesn't want to marry this guy, Drummond, certainly not after meeting him, as we will get into that scene. But I think just the telling thing is how she reacts once Pip leaves the cart, which is to cry. And it's so, I love tragedy. And this is the thing that I was getting out of like the a little bit of the maybe Romeo and Juliet, but a lot more miscommunication between Romeo and Juliet themselves before the end of the story. Where they can't be honest with each other, or at least they can't be fully honest with each other, even though Pip says to her in that moment or a few moments before, I love you. And it's kind of struck me like, wow, he's actually trying to do the right thing. And as in the sense of being honest and going about at least love the right way, but it's not enough in the society, right, in this time. And it's all the more reason why it's not just that he doesn't want Estella to marry Jaggers for his own purposes, like selfishly. It's also that he wants to save her from having to do it. So Jaggers, prophecy, so to speak, is coming true. And it's just, again, such a wonderful example of the chess that Jaggers has set up here.
Yeah, I guess the thing that like he's not telling, because I was thinking like, actually they're like very honest with each other, right? Like she's not really saying like, yeah, I love you, Pip, but she's basically being like, I can't marry you, like it's, I have to marry this dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess the thing he's not telling her is that he knows that like they're setting up this whole ploy against Drummel that essentially will either see him in jail, maybe at worst hanged. Mm-hmm. And that just marrying him is a bad idea because of this thing, but he can't really tell her because part of being a good businessman is like, you know, it's not about specifically this thing, but Jagger's right, essentially saying like, don't tell anybody that I'm like, actually like, I didn't need to take this man out of the brothel. I didn't need to take the cotton planter out of the brothel. I could have kept him there and his reputation would have been ruined, that he died via a heart attack at a brothel, but I will do a nice thing and throw him overboard so that he, you know, shows up on a beach in Gravesend and people will assume that he was murdered. So, but Jagger's essentially like saying, don't tell anybody, right? Like, don't, you know, this is how to be the businessman. And yeah, it's a little unfortunate that but like, he's not telling her because he's worried that like, because like, if she's going to marry him and the fact that she's so adamant that she'll marry him, like
Drummond, yeah,
Drummel. That she'll spill the beans to him and that he'll go and be able to say, even though he's a deplorable man, it's still her way up in the like social hierarchy of the world. So right. He can't tell her that like, listen, there's a whole plan. If you're like, your husband will be in jail, so don't go marry him.
Yeah, the stakes are too high and he can't tell her. And that's the tragedy, because he's trying. It's not just that he wants to save her, is that he actually already has been presented with the plan from Jaggers to save her. And he just can't disclose it. So it makes it all the more sad that he actually has he has everything he needs to make what he's saying come true. accept her belief in him, which is what he wants, and that's it. It just adds so much more.
Well, he hasn't done it yet. He hasn't moved up the ladder. So
yeah, no. But now he's already in that moment where he's sitting in the carriage with her, completely intent on following through with that. Because again, now he sees like there's no other path forward for him and his love for her, of wanting to protect her. And I think that was a big thing this episode, of them kind of acting against each other, or at least seemingly acting against each other, but in reality just trying to protect each other in these like a little bit of ways that mirrored each other, which is just, it's just fascinating to me.
I also noticed that Pip is last week, Drummel tells him that to like takes, you know, snort whatever is in this little tin, and he's like, I don't. And Drummel is like, well, do. And he still doesn't do it. And yet this week, when he is offered some, he puts it in both of his nostrils. So he is doing definitely doing sprays. And when he goes to the bar to try to get the man to the insurance, says he's drinking some amount of rum. And this is one of the things that the guy is like, you know, worried about. He's like, you're drunk. And he's like, I am not drunk. You will take it back. There are witnesses who will say I'm not drunk. Little does he know he will shoot a pistol accidentally later, which maybe proves that he's a little drunk. But it's not just that, like, he's having more success in the business world, but also sort of falling prey to some of these the things that come along with the business world of London.
Yeah, he's trying to be... We know it's from the beginning, right? We know that he's trying to become a gentleman, if only because that's what he believes that Estella deserves. It's beyond now just he wants to, I think some small part of him, sure, still wants to just better his lot in life. But I think it's become more complicated, where now he wants to just actively deserve Estella. And for me, I mean, you mentioned the him snorting the stuff Drummel's office, and for me the big headline at the end was like, no, he finally did opium, sad. Like, there was the previous episode, I think it was episode 2, where it ends and everybody else is doing opium and Pip is just getting drunk because that's his way of dealing with things, and then now finally he has been like fully infected, or at least more deeply infected by London, and is taking in this darkness now into his lungs, much to the happiness of this opium den witch lady, who forgot that she had a dog, or forgot that she didn't have a dog for years, which was pretty twisted.
She has two daughters though.
She has two daughters. She
was very quickly willing to marry them off.
I forgot that I haven't had a dog in years. I was like, yikes. I almost introduced you like that on the podcast. I was like, no, it's too dark. But I think, and you mentioned this already, but I think the biggest laugh that I have had for sure at any moment during the show is during that confrontation early on in the bar, and Pip is holding the gun. And before that, hilariously, Jagger says that to him, point it anywhere but at me.
Point it anywhere but at me. Mm-hmm.
And then once the deal is done, basically, Pip accidentally, I don't know if it's because he's drunk, I don't know if it's because he was distracted, but the gun, his finger slips, I'm not sure, like clearly he didn't mean to fire the gun, which just made it funny, but it's just hilarious that the gun goes off and thankfully it hits no one, it hits the table. Yeah. Jagger's just like, please go outside.
Yeah, it's very funny.
I cackled, and it was such a great cutting through the tension of the scene with this, I thought, pretty intentionally hilarious moment.
Yeah, I think when they Jaggers will finish making the man making his mark. I thought the writing was really clever when he's like, you know, make your mark on the paper. And then the guy's trying to stab him with a bottle and he's like, I'll make my mark on you, kid. You know, yeah. That was very good. But yeah. So when he goes outside, and they're sitting outside sort of on the bench, and they sort of have two scenes like this where they're sort of outside a tavern or, you know, the opium den or whatever, and just chatting. And I think like the tragedy of this is kind of how like stubborn and tenacious Pip is. And it's the thing that Drummel sees in him to know that he can do the stuff that he's doing. And also tragically, like for us, as we're watching, like, I don't want Pip to do this. I want him to just like go home. And, you know, if he can't be with Estella, just marry Biddy and just be fine and happy and whatever. But it, you know, and still Jaggers is saying, like, when Pip is passed out on the street because he's on the opium. He's like, yeah, this London life will either make you or kill you. And as he comes out of his haze, he's like, it will make me, Mr. Jagger. Like, it's not going to kill me. And I think that's the tragedy of Pip, is that he's like so stubborn and tenacious that he's, you know, the only way to be successful is to do the drugs with Dremel, is to like go to an opium den where Jagger's has to make a business deal. Like the idea is like comfort does come with the business in this world. And it's sort of tragic to watch Pip, who's, you know, at the beginning just wants to, it's not even about Estella really at first. It's mostly about being able to sell ivory to support, you know, Joe and Sarah being somebody who like abuses him. So, you know, it's just like a tragic.
To that point, it's interesting that his motivation seems to be always a large percentage of it for some outside force or some outside person, which is something that is like commendable, right? Like you said, he wants to help his sister and his surrogate father, basically. And he wants to like help Estella. And yes, obviously he wants to help his own lot in life, but I think it's obviously interesting. And this is, I'm sure, part of the book and the conversation around the book, a book I never read again, to be clear, or only read parts of, that, you know, it's just a commentary on working and like in class, and I guess that, you know, more to make it more modern capitalism of like working yourself past what you think is right, or like working past the point of destroying yourself to achieve this thing that you think you want or think you should want, of a better lot in life, more money, better career, whatever. And it's, he's drinking the Kool-Aid, right? He is smoking the Kool-Aid in this example.
Well, I always think, I mean, this is a condemnation of the class structure, like specifically of England at the time in the 1860 or so. And again, like the way I think that this is really relevant today is that, like, you know, we live in a capitalist structure where I get really annoyed. So recently, you know, it's the beginning of the year, but we recently did our like performance reviews, and I did great, by the way. But I always think it's very silly where, like, you know, a 3 out of 5 is sort of like meets expectations. But for me, it's like, and that's like considered, like, there is a way in which, like, there are some people who try to be like, yeah, that's like, no, a 3 is good. Like, you should aim for a 3, you know, but like then and there was this thing that went around recently, a rumor at work that like nobody gets a 5 because a 5 should be unattainable. And I just thought about the way in which, like, it's just like kind of bogus capitalist BS, right? The fact that, like, if you like a 3, doing the bare minimum at your work shouldn't actually be a bad thing. This is a little bit of like quiet quitting in our culture these days, of that, you know, this idea that if I just do like the actual bare minimum, maybe even less than bare minimum, then like people won't notice. And I just think it's like, yeah, our society is so set up to like work extra. And this is not exactly the same, because like guess where I'm going with this is that like that doesn't actually, you know, amount to, you know, for me at my work, like getting a 5 wouldn't actually amount to like that much more for me. The actual way is that, like, actually, if you're like up at the tippity top of like our class structure, you actually can't, like, you kind of get away with things that nobody else would get away with. And like how just like the whole system is just messed up. And yeah, this whole idea of like, you know, working harder rather than like, you know, supporting everybody in our society. Anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm on a little bit of a weird tangent, but I don't even know what my point is.
But down with the monarchy of capitalism.
Yeah, for real.
I think it's well well put and well like intentioned by the show to, you know, and obviously the body of work itself of being well ahead of its time.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash. Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, so to that point, though, like, Jaggers is made out to be this like cruel businessman, right? Who he is. Like, let's not forget that like the man he protects the reputation of is an American cotton planter, which at the time slavery would be. So would slavery be, when was the American Civil War? Let's check.
I know this, and I will soon have the dates ready.
So essentially, I don't know exactly when the show is set per se. I know it was written in 1860, but this would be the time that America, the Civil War, is 1861 to 1865. So, so presumably, this man that dies in the brothel is a slave owner. Like, I would presume that that you're alluding to, like, American cotton, you know, planter, right? I presume that man owned slaves. So the man that he's protecting the image of, and like Pip's like, ah, you do have a heart, is like, yeah, he's protecting the image of a slave owner, right? So it's like, I think the contradictions in that of like, so I just was wondering what your thoughts were on the scene with Jaggers, where they're talking and Jaggers essentially like revealing to Pip, like, yeah, I was like you, all I wanted to do was be a fisherman. Like, I just wanted this simple life. And then I ended up like, you know, I wanted acceptance in society and knew that like, this is how I could get it. It was not being a fisherman. And then I demanded it. And then I hated that I had acceptance. And so I'm just wondering your takes on like this scene with Jaggers. That's like sort of supposed to be like, it's, you know, it's a low bar to, you know, I guess that's a high bar to redemption, but they do try it.
Yeah. And it's, for me, it's not even so much about like necessarily wanting to redeem him, but just about like making him more complicated, which is something I love. And it's almost like the scene with when Jaggers and Pip first start talking is then continued at the end. So it's like, it's two scenes that kind of function as one conversation because it kind of, it picks up where they left off. And I think what was most fascinating about the initial scene when they're talking is when Pip asks him, what he asked him about his, Jaggers has already like spoken a little bit vaguely about himself and, you know, being the fisherman, and his humble beginnings. And then Pip asks him, I can't remember now what exactly Pip asks him, but he's basically getting, he's trying to get more information. And in a way that I believe, at least, that for Pip is for the most part, just curiosity, like that he's not necessarily trying to get, you know, information to then use against Jaggers. But it's just, what struck me was Pip is so natural and Jaggers like starts to answer and then catches himself and kind of like smiles at Pip because he is recognizing Pip's value and Pip's ability to just talk to people. And, you know, the way that, and he is seeing now firsthand how Pip is able to, from previous episodes, talk to people, get information. You know, sometimes it happens off screen, but Pip is able to very expertly maneuver these tasks that Jaggers is giving him. And I thought that was so fascinating to watch Jaggers kind of experience it in real time and be charmed by Pip enough that he was willing, he was almost willing to give him more, which he does eventually give him at the end of the episode, but in that moment he stops himself. And I think that it's as if I needed any more reason to love Jaggers as a character anymore, just to see him struggle and make him complicated. And like you said, yeah, he's protecting people who are trash, but that doesn't, but he is still looking, now that he has, as he put it, he fought to better himself, Jaggers, and then he got there and then he hated it. But now what other life could he have? If he doesn't continue to do these things, and based on this reputation that he has built, does he go back to like not having money? He doesn't want that, as much as he hates some of the things that he's doing. So it's almost like he's finding ways to cheat his image by doing kind things, however small, in order to kind of, you know, follow or check that box of doing something kind, when, because it makes him feel bad not to.
Mm-hmm. We talked about like Magwitch, that stuff being a little bit confusing, but what'd you make of Magwitch's gunshot wound? Is disgusting. That's brutal. How did he survive?
It seems like he's hallucinating. Like he's, or at least not hallucinating, but like he wakes up and he's, you know, in the middle of nowhere in, I believe it was New South Wales. And he's then talking to dogs where he's like, oh, how do we get to London? Like clearly there's no one else around. So, you know, the way that people who own dogs talk to dogs normally, it doesn't mean you're crazy, but like, I just felt like there was a little bit of an air.
I'm gonna ask
my
dog how to get to the dog park. Yeah. I mean,
Luna, you want to go out? You want
to
go out?
Luna knows how to get to the dog park, but you know, yeah.
I thought it was fascinating. And now finally, more interesting to me on the note about Magwitch, is he's clearly on his way to London at the end. So it's like, okay, how are these things now gonna coalesce as we go into the final two episodes? And then I had the crazy thought, I was like, oh my god, he's clearly better off. I don't think he's rich, but like, is he the benefactor? I'm like, no, it can't be him.
Yes. Very one, little Havisham this episode, Miss Havisham this episode.
Yeah,
very
appearing little. Mostly in dreams, right? There's the dream at the beginning that we talked about of
she's not, I don't think she's in the, maybe you hear her calling, but essentially she,
yeah, you hear, you hear her, like she comes into the room briefly to give she spent all night pressing the clothing, and she you know, gives her instructions and tells her to wash everywhere, which is like, okay, that seems very specific. But in the beginning, we see her in the dream.
She means behind her ears.
And then at the end, we see her appear in like that vision that Estelle is having. I assume another, like similar to how it's cut with Pip, and they're both having like basically a version of this vision, like some kind of opium haze that she's under, right? Because she kind of seems like she's not, Estella, I mean, she seems like she's not, she's speaking to someone who's not there, aka Miss Havisham, who she's seeing in the mirror and isn't really there. So she's kind of having a little bit of a druggy moment. That's how I interpreted it.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they both are probably on open. Yeah, she's envisioning. We never really see her dancing with Pip, but we just see her sort of like imagining she's dancing with someone, which you could imagine it's her like dance with Dremel, but I choose to believe that she's actually imagining that, like, what if she was marrying Pip?
Yeah,
they were dancing at their wedding. That's how I envision it, that she's just having this little like moment, but if you know, whatever. And then you do see like when Pip is sort of having an hallucination, he's seeing, it's like two hands, mm-hmm. like you're seeing the hands dance together. And I imagine that more to be like flashback of like when he was being trained by Havisham.
Miss Havisham would like have them do those kinds of things.
Yeah, I imagine he was having much more of like a flashback, like to this time when they actually got to be and like kind of pining for it as well. Whereas she is having a hallucination isn't the right, but like, you know, for when she's seeing
Between, yeah, like hallucination and like a daydream, yeah. Right? Yeah. And I think, yeah, he's having more of like a, you call it like a post-show recap almost of his of his moment.
Yes. My dance with Estella is over, but I'm just getting started.
I'm just getting started in my opium haze.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it's tragic. The relationship is tragic. I do want to get into a couple of scenes, both involving Estella, that I think were probably my favorite parts of the episode. Mm-hmm. And the first one is one that we kind of teased. I mean, we've teased both in the plot, but one that you had clearly a strong opinion about, Drummel. It's the scene where Drummel and Estella have their meeting and Pip is sitting in the room. I mean, even before that, I think an amazing line I wrote down from Drummel is, "I am done with actresses. I need a well-built vessel whose cargo will be my son."
Yeah. Yeah, this guy sucks. He's awful.
Guy sucks even before he meets her. And then he meets her, and this scene is hilarious and scary and cool, and just I love a scene where like multiple characters have different understandings of what's actually going on and can exchange glances and communicate things to each other. It's just such a wonderfully choreographed scene and written scene. Like you said, Drummel is a total POS. He basically he yells at points against Estella for having zero chill. And I know she hasn't seen Pip in a while and that's lovely, but she's like looking at Pip way too much.
Well, he notices. He's like, "Don't look at him. Look at
me." She's like, "Look at me." It was very Harry Potter in the Order of the Phoenix. "Look at me. And then he's tried to be cool. Like, "I mean, don't look at him." And then he brings out a stick and he's like, "Anyone who defies me that I'm married to will be getting the stick that is like by law no wider than whatever the law says." It's pretty monstrous. And I found it hilarious that she was like, he asked her, "Okay, what kinds of things do you love and what kinds of things do you hate?" And she's like, "I hate nutmeg." And his response is, "Okay."
Okay.
Or I think he even says good.
I like the other thing I like too is there's a tendency on TV shows to be like, okay, we have to have this hour meeting, and then people come in and they sit down, and they talk for like 2 minutes, and then they're like, "Well, gotta go." Or like, you know, when they're like in the morning when they like eat breakfast and they're like, you know, they don't eat their breakfast or whatever. I do love how they have this meeting and he's like, "Well, this has been a delightful first minute of our meeting," you know? It's like and then later he's like, "So this has been 3 minutes of us."
Yes, it's like 3 minutes in, you are already saying that we are opposites. Yeah, I thought that was really interesting as well. And again, just Drummel being so good at being so bad, or at least the actor being so good at showing us how monstrous this man is, even just like the looks and the little, you know, idiosyncrasies, the little mannerisms that he has when he's clearly like twitching and buzzing before he has his actual outburst of like, "Stop looking at him." He's kind of looking away, kind of looking at Pip, kind of looking at her, like clearly very uncomfortable.
Yeah. I also just wanted to compliment your haircut. It looks shorter, Ariel. That to me was
How do I look?
When he says, "I got a haircut." And he says, "It looks shorter."
Yeah. It's like he might as well have said, yes, you did.
Well, when he says, "How do I look?" He says, "Fine," which we all know from the Rob Cesternino school of how to say things are bad without saying that they're bad.
Say that.
That's fine. It's fine.
There's no fixing that. There's no fixing that nutmeg smell.
His hair is quite
bad. It's unfortunate. Yeah. And again, it's obviously supposed to look a certain way because it's the sometimes we get these characters whose inner rot has started to affect how they look physically on the outside.
Yeah.
So that scene is wonderful. And the other scene I wanted to talk about, like the short, is a little bit of a shorter one, but there's a standout line from it. It's when Estella goes to visit
Joe and Biddy.
The school. Oh, right. I forgot she went to see Joe. With that just made me sad.
Shirtless
Joe. I'm like, wow, he's 85. Hey, Joe. He looks great.
Ready to retire, bro.
Looking great for 96. And she, again, she's trying to, this was what I mentioned before, of like, she's doing these roundabout things, trying to help Pip, or in her mind, help Pip. But obviously, if Pip were to have to, were forced to come back for whatever reason or heard from it, it wouldn't really work. But again, it just shows the connection that they have. And she's willing to literally go out of her way, go back to where Pip is from and try to help him in whatever way she sees fit. And when she has the conversation with Biddy. Thank you. That's why I said it with a question mark. Thank you, Grace. Biddy. And it's funny because Biddy, I'm like, wow, that Biddy. That's like, it can be an insult. Anyway, I didn't like that was her name. It made her even less in my estimation, mm-hmm. of like the hierarchy of the society. Estella is
a cool name.
Estella's a great Stella. Name. Yeah. And she goes to see Biddy, not Dee Dee, the sister from Dexter's lab. And she says, her line that I'm talking about is, I'm like a lighthouse, alone, and a warning to others to stay away.
This is good, because I feel like there's often like this idea that a lighthouse is like, you know, it's like a sign.
A storm. Yeah.
But I love it. Like, no, if you come to me, like, I'm here, but if you come to me, you will crash into the shore. That's the entire point of me.
Crash and burn.
I love that a lot.
That's fascinating. And it's just so sad to see her. And so effective, obviously, and almost like comically tragic, but I mean that in a good way, of just like, God, this is so bleak, but it's so good. And she's doing such a good job of selling it. And understandably so, Biddy is like, why would you try to help him? Because Estella starts out by saying, Pip loves me now even more than he ever did before, perhaps too much so. And she references that, what I thought was incredible. Everyone knows that Biddy loves Pip except Pip. Like Estella says, I could tell by the way he spoke about you that you loved him. So like the idea being, in another universe, she would be having this conversation to tell Biddy. She would start out the conversation of saying, I know you loved him and he loves me even more than he used to, as like a way to hurt Biddy. But in fact, she's only there to try to help Pip. So Biddy is obviously and understandably confused. But I just thought it was such a wonderful one. I'm happy to see Biddy again, because I already complained that there wasn't enough of her earlier in a different episode. But it's a wonderful interaction, and then an unexpected one, a subversion of what you think this scene might go like.
We all know you love Biddy because you just don't remember her name. So we all know, you're like, wow, we must have more. We have to have more of her on the show. I can't remember her name, for God's sakes, you know?
I'm a monster. Get her on here. But yeah, I love that scene, and I'm excited to see what else they will do. Like, if they're willing to do this already, like, how much further will they go to quote unquote help each other in a way that actually might end up hurting each other? I think is a fascinating dynamic to track with Estella and Pip. Star-crossed lovers? Question mark. Who knows?
Maybe
Biddy.
I can't tell you.
No, please don't tell me.
I won't spoil this.
No, don't spoil it. I'm trying to think of what other extrapolations I could maybe pull out of this as far as the future. I mean, clearly, our friend from Australia is coming back, so that'll be interesting to see how he comes into the fold and if he will even recognize Pip, and if Pip will have to reveal, you know, what their interact, because you. Clearly, they're on a collision course towards each other, maybe not towards a lighthouse, but towards each other. So that'll be interesting to track. And then Pip the River Rat, as he calls himself in this episode.
I do like Estella being like, yeah, I heard some boys just sit on the shore of the river and watch the giant ships, which is an insult at Pip, who used to do that. And then I just love Drummle just being like, I have the biggest ships. I hate him.
And he's like, do you ever watch the ships? And she's like, I don't have a view of the river. So
yeah,
I don't
view the river.
Yeah. I hate Nutmeg also again.
This guy playing Drummle, Matthew Needham, he's very good, because I really hate him. I do not like him. This is what's his name? This is Laris Strong from Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon.
Ah, that makes sense. See, I knew he looked kind of familiar and I meant to IMDb him. And now it all makes sense. I leave it to you to bring all the hard knowledge.
He plays a despicable figure pretty good, I have to
pretty
say.
Convincingly. Yeah. So. It's not great. Jaggers again, amazing episode. Love him. But I think the reason ultimately I love this one more is because we got so much great Estella content after being robbed of her for so long. More Miss Havisham. Grace is there.
Yes, please.
Is there anything else? Should I be hoping for? Obviously, we don't want to spoil, and you don't want to spoil for me, but like, yeah. Am I going to see Miss Havisham again? I feel like she has a greater part to play, right? I hope so.
That's not the end of Miss Havisham. So.
Ooh, what a tease. She's going to spend all night writing her next scene. Because that's they right. didn't write her one. So mm-hmm. she's done pressing the clothing mm-hmm. and she will move on to pressing the script pages.
I did want to say, I believe that all of these episodes are directed by the same person. I just want to make sure I have that mm-hmm. right.
That would be impressive. I love it's the
yeah. So Steve, they're not all directed. Steve Knight, I believe, wrote every episode, and then yes. Brady Hood directed the first four episodes, and then Samir Radzi is doing the last two. So yeah, again, I just think I don't know. People are like, I know people are thinking that this is like a deviation from the book, but I'm really enjoying it, and I like the dark, gritty nature of it. So you know.
We love dark and gritty. I know the two of us specifically do. So this show is right up our alley, and I'm having a blast. As much as you can have a blast watching like somewhat terrible things happen to people. I love at the end, Pip says, "You are the angel of death, Jackers," because he brings him into a room right before they go into the room at the end. He's like, "Why does it smell weird?" It's like another dead body. God damn it, Jackers. You are the angel of death. Mm-hmm. Hilarious. Like hilarious. A line that isn't even supposed to be funny, but it's just so funny because Pip is like, really? Another one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And that's pretty much the end of the episode for them. And for us, there are only two left. This is so two sad. Left. I'm mm-hmm. devastated. But at least they're long episodes, right? I mean, the mm-hmm. episodes so far have been fairly long. So I hope and expect that the last two will be just as long, because these are the kinds of long that I love, where they go by very fast. And I enjoy them because the tone is so perfectly executed. So we will be back next week covering the penultimate episode, episode mm-hmm. five. Until then, Grace, what else do you have going on? Where can people find you?
Talking about Succession and Yellow Jackets. You and I are talking movies and Dark each week on our Dark Rewatch with Philly. And I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace.
Yes, I am also on Twitter at That Other Ariel, covering all the things Grace said, the show Dark with Philly. We're covering movies. We covered Mario. We're going to cover Air, those movies. Look out.
We should have combined it to do Super Mayor. Yo,
Super Mario. I can we're there. I can see it. I just got to do a couple of.
Oh, people did not like that from the episode, so that might turn people off. Yeah.
I apologize. I just again singing the praises of the actor who plays Trouble. Like the sound effects that were coming out of his nose, I thought were so funny.
Matthew Needham, he's killing it.
Anyway, thank you, Matthew Needham, for that. All right, until next week, episode five. In your podcast feed. Bye for now.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.